The Color of Sound is about musical prodigy Rosie Solomon. She's been playing the violin since she was tiny, and her whole life has revolved around practicing and performing until the summer after sixth grade when she decides she needs a break. She wants to figure out who she is without the violin, which leads her on a journey of self-discovery that involves making new friends, uncovering family secrets, and maybe bending the space-time continuum a little. Typical summer stuff. But one thing that Rosie can't do is separate herself from music entirely, because she has synesthesia, which the author also has. It's a neurological condition that basically blends the senses. In Rosie's case, her brain associates every visual stimulus with a sound as well. So for her, music is effectively everywhere in every sensory experience, and she can't shut it off. Eventually, she comes to embrace it, especially when she discovers that music has played a big role in several generations of her family. Spoiler, if you have novel addressing how the Holocaust caused intergenerational trauma on your bingo card, now would be the time to mark it off because that's part of Rosie's family's past as well. It's integrated really seamlessly and sensitively into how Rosie is grappling with her self-expression in the present. And overall, this is a story about how sight and sound are intertwined with emotions and about what can happen when you open yourself up to seeing the world and yourself in new ways. Cruzita and the Mariachi Rose. Cruzita is an aspiring pop star who has big plans to go viral and get famous this summer, but instead she has to help out at her family's struggling bakery. Her beloved great uncle has just died, and everybody's having a really hard time managing without him, not just because of their grief, but because the business is in trouble. Cruzita doesn't really want anything to do with this bakery, but the only other thing she's allowed to do this summer is take mariachi lessons, which she is also dreading because she doesn't know how to play an instrument and she isn't fluent in Spanish, two skills that are pretty helpful in performing Mexican folk music. But as Cruzita gets to know her fellow students, aka the Mariacheros, she gains a deeper understanding of the music and a greater confidence in herself, and she starts to feel more connected to the Mexican-American culture that her family has been trying to honor through the bakery. Ultimately, Cruzita comes up with a long shot plan to save the bakery that involves performing with her mariachi group as she discovers that there are many ways to be a star. This is a really sweet, touching story, but I recommend that you read it when you're not already hungry because the baked goods do all sound delicious. Onward to the lab list for the YA novels. Pangu's Shadow is a sci-fi murder mystery set in the fictional Pangu star system. Ver and Errol are two rival biology apprentices from different moons orbiting a planet in this system. They are on that planet's third moon currently. It is way more prosperous than the other two. They're there to work at a prestigious lab where Ver hopes to find a cure for her degenerative disease, and Errol hopes to make her immigrant parents proud. Unfortunately, their supervisor turns up dead in the lab on a night when they were the only other people there, and they're immediately the prime suspects in his murder. So the two girls have to team up to clear their names, and in the process, they uncover a lot of secrets about the three moons. There's some really organic social commentary woven into the story. It touches on disability, on xenophobia, on class dynamics, but at face value, it's a fast-paced page-turner of a whodunit in space. And finally, Eyes Open is a novel in verse set in 1960s Portugal during the Salazar dictatorship. Author Lynn Miller-Lachman actually lived in Portugal off and on for years. She's fluent in Portuguese and has done a lot of translation work, and she brings really deep cultural and historical knowledge to this story. It's about an aspiring poet named Sonia who fancies herself to be rebellious but has a pretty comfortable middle-class life at the beginning of the story. Her family owns a restaurant. She's running a semi-secret poetry club at her Catholic school. She's got a hotshot artist boyfriend. Life is pretty good, but it all falls apart in quick succession. Her boyfriend gets arrested for subversive activities. Then her family's restaurant gets shut down by the government for letting its musical entertainment sing forbidden songs. And suddenly she's got to drop out of school and get a job in a hotel laundry, which is really grueling, really dangerous work. Workers are constantly getting injured, the conditions are terrible. And at this point, Sonia realizes nobody else is going to protect her. She has to speak up for herself and for her fellow workers. She has to be her own hero. Lynn is a gifted poet, and if you recall the chunkiness of her previous acclaimed book, Torch, I think you'll be impressed by how economically she manages to build an evocative story with a much shorter word count and the very distinct demands of this form. It really packs a punch. And that should be it for our novelist.
Thank you for listening to the Learner Podcast. Tune in again next time for more author interviews and the stories behind the books.